You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. It's a great day today. Oh, yeah, I'm feeling good. This is your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle. That's me. So nice to have you with me. I've got a great show today. Something you're going to really be interested in, I think. First off, I'm going to tell you about some really interesting studies that were done. Not boring stuff. Really interesting information about what scientists are finding out about our minds and our bodies and the connection and all that cool stuff. And a whole lot more. I'm going to be answering listeners' questions. But first, let me tell you this. You can call me live if you'd like. The number is 323-203-0815 right here in beautiful Studio City, where the studios of LA Talk Radio are. And if you'd like to get in contact with me somehow or respond or have questions, problems, issues, whatever, you can find me at DocMichelle@AOL.com. That's where I answer a lot of my questions, at DocMichelle@AOL.com, you see. And then, of course, you can log on to my website, which is DrMichelleTherapy.com. And from there, you can connect to my email address, and you can ask me questions, comments, whatever you like about the show, questions about your relationship issues. Yes, I will be happy to help you with that. Questions about problems of any other type you may be having. And do remember that you and I don't have a therapeutic relationship per se. This is advice and also hopefully entertainment and learning so you can learn stuff. And again, you can find me at DrMichelleTherapy.com, Dr. Michelle with two L's, therapy.com, and I am Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist. So let's get rocking. First off, I'm going to tell you what is going on in some studies. I mean, you're going, boring. No, these are some really cool studies that I found. They're interesting because it's about what scientists found out about the connection between the way we stress out and what happens to our physical bodies. Okay? So the way you think and feel and how it affects your physical body. And I know you're going, oh, I know that. Come on, give me a break. Come on. I take care of myself, I exercise, I eat well, I try to sleep. That's all I need to do. What's this BS about this new agey stuff? I really need to think positive thoughts. It's all about law of attraction, folks. Scientific proof about stuff that happens when we're stressed and how we screw up our cells in our bodies and how they make us sick and give us all sorts of diseases, all sorts of things that, surprise, surprise, I had a stroke. I had a heart attack. I have an autoimmune disorder. I've been taking good care of myself. What's up with that? Yeah, we have heredity. But you know what? We have a lot of nasty thoughts and a lot of self-doubt, low self-esteem, self-hate, anger towards other people. Oh, that'll really give you a big heart attack, that anger for years. Woo! That'll knock you down. Anyway, so let me tell you about some of these studies. Also, I'm going to be giving you an on-air stress test to help you discover what is causing you stress, since we're talking about stress. It's a very simple test. It's things that you may visualize, and then what you do kind of may indicate what's going on within you in your stress level. This comes from personality tests online, by the way. Just information. Kind of cool things. We call them projective tests. Also, I'll be answering listeners' questions about relationships, as I said, regular relationship stuff that you have written me in about at docmichelle@aol.com, docmichelle@aol.com. Let's see. Let's start off with a study. You know, it's talking about what you think, really, about life and the stress level and all that stuff and what happens to your body. Here we go. Study shows happy people live longer. Duh. Duh. Happy people live longer. All right. Keeping a positive outlook may help folks live longer. USA Today reported a new study showing heart disease patients who stayed positive are 20% more likely than their frowning counterparts to live another 11 years. What the hell? Damn. The study is set to be presented to the American Psychosomatic Society, Psychosomatic Body, Mind Over Body. Now, the author of the study is Beverly Brummett. Okay, she's up there, Duke University Medical Center. And she says, you know, it's not necessary to keep a permanent grin on your face. Come on, everybody has stuff going on, and they get pissed off, and they're driving on the freeways, and they get upset in life. People cut them off, and, you know, their relatives or husbands or wives or whatever, boyfriends, girlfriends drive us crazy. And we get PO'd. Our kids? Yeah. But the deal about what she found in this study is that emotional lows, right? Those real downers that we think about a lot, that we ruminate on forever. Avoid those emotional lows. You know what I'm talking about? You avoid those downers all the time. Experts say the happy heart patient's longevity may be attributed to a lower output of stress hormones. The stress hormones thicken the blood. The stress hormones that we become addicted to, by the way, and I'll tell you more about that in the book I'm writing called Detoxing the Drama from Your Life because it's making you sick. Okay. The stress hormones continue to screw up our cells, period, end of report. It thickens the blood. It messes up our functioning, our organs, everything. It's the thoughts. It's the stress hormones that are going on. And those stress hormones are released not only with anger, with worry, with depression, with anxiety, with all that stuff going on. So what we have to do is we have to train our brains. We have to train ourselves how to chill out, basically. There's my therapeutic advice. Dr. Michelle, what should I do to, you know, be healthier? Chill the hell out. There you go. Thank you. Truly, you've got to find a way, folks, if you are a stressed out person. I'm not talking about getting high every day. You know, that helps to be mellow. But see, what happens is you're replacing a stress hormone if you get high or you use alcohol or you use benzodiazepines, which are tranquilizers, whatever, to chill out. What you're doing is you're causing another chemical imbalance, which is going to screw with your head and your hormones and mess up your cells. So I'm not saying that. I mean, once in a while, I'm all about moderation. But what I'm saying is try to not let other people and yourself get you crazy. So you can relax, so you can feel better about who you are. How do you do that, huh? Well, everyone else is, you know, it's just my life is so tough. Don't allow it. Don't allow other people to get you crazy. Take strength. Have little affirmations that apply to you. Not the phony ones that a lot of people, I love the world. I want world peace. My life is perfect. No, those aren't real, per se, unless you can really resonate to those. You got to find some affirmations. You got to write down some things for you that make you feel good, that you can read in the morning when you get up, that are realistic, that apply to you. Like today, I'm going to focus on the things that make me feel good. Today, I'm not going to allow the boss, my wife, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my husband, my kid, to get me angry or crazy. How am I going to do that? I'm going to think about other things I need to do and not perseverate on how pissed off I am at them or how hurt I am at them. I'm so hurt. It's time to change your thoughts. It's time to change your language about what you choose to do every day. I feel like I'm really lecturing, aren't I? Damn. Kind of scary today. Scaring myself. So that's one study there. Let's move on. Here's the dealio. Short-term stress can raise triglyceride levels. Now, check this out. This freaked me out on this study. Something as simple as stressing over what you might wear on a date. Oh my God! or to a presentation could be bad for your heart. Stressing out, everyday little stressors when they build up, everyday little stressors, oh gosh, can really screw you up. Doctors have found that even short-term stress can have a negative impact on your cardiac health. What happens is it slows down the body's ability to clear heart-damaging fats from the blood. Again, as I mentioned in the last study, the stress hormones thickens the blood. Screws us up. Okay? Researchers at Ohio State University, they measure the levels of volunteers' triglycerides. It was a stress-induced test. They induced stress in these poor people. And then they gave them a period of rest and relaxation and had them say positive things and think good things and listen to nice relaxing music and think love thoughts and all that stuff. And the results showed that in all cases, stress caused triglycerides to stay in the bloodstream longer. All right? It slows down the body's ability to clear heart-damaging fats. Stress, thinking things, heart palpitations, triglycerides being released, stress hormones. Okay? I mean, it's all about trying to chill out, taking responsibility for your thoughts, for your choices. And I'm not talking about being a narcissist or in denial. We all have ups and downs. But try to move on. Yeah, we get PO'd at things. We have issues. But try to move on. Don't perseverate on it. Move on. Think about the good things that are going to help you feel like, gee, you're doing things to better yourself. Health, exercise, thinking good thoughts, doing work you like. Even in work you don't like, just trying to think good thoughts and kind of be the best you can in it while you're manifesting your next great job. Doing the best you can do, not hating every day, anxiety every day, fear every day, pissed off at boss every day. Okay? And that also messes up your sleep, by the way, as well. Okay? Another study among that focus. If you want to be healthier, keep a positive attitude.
Duh.
A study from the Mayo Clinic found optimists reported having better physical and emotional health. Okay. There's a doctor. His name was, let's see if I can pronounce this correctly, Toshiko Maruda. Toshiko Maruda. He says the research is a follow-up to a study they did a couple of years ago. This is at the Mayo Clinic. He said the optimists tend to live longer and have better lives. All right? The optimists tend to live longer and have better lives. Why? Because they're not putting out the stress hormones that are killing our cells and screwing up our blood. This is all real deal stuff. You got to think about this stuff. All right, moving on. Another study. Israeli researchers say that looking on the bright side of life can keep breast cancer at bay. How's about that one, girls? You know, we're always hearing about, oh my God, I hope we don't get breast cancer. It's all they talk about in the news, health news these days, just about. Okay, so here's the deal. In a study that compared the mental outlook and life events of 255 breast cancer patients to 367 healthy women, researchers found that optimists had a 25% lower risk of breast cancer. These are researchers at the Ben-Gurion University in England. They told the BBC that experiencing one or more traumatic life events, okay, was associated with a more than 60% increase. Traumatic life events, what are those? Well, let's talk about ongoing abuse that you are repeatedly exposed to in your life. A lot of sorrow, a lot of death, a lot of sickness around you. Staying in abusive relationships, staying in hateful relationships, creating more drama because you're addicted to that chemical that makes you crazy. Women who've suffered numerous negative life events should be considered at higher risk for breast cancers, according to these researchers at Ben-Gurion University. All right? So here's the dealio. This is proof. This is research. You know, you can go online and look at all these websites about thinking positive and all these wonderful thoughts, and you can just leave the computer for a bit and go to your job or go do whatever and get all stressed out and throw that out the window because, yeah, it just gave you a temporary boost. But when you read real studies like these, when you hear about real studies, this is the real deal, baby. This stuff's some scary stuff. This is what's going on in our bodies. You see, here's the deal. In the olden days, our brains, we still have those old primitive brains, you know. Yeah. We have the fight or flight deal going on. We can't run from the animal, run in the jungle anymore, because we don't have the jungle here in the metropolitan cities. A lot of people out in the jungle living out in the wild who do use the stress, flight, or fight hormones probably are a lot healthier physiologically. The problem is they don't have the medical services we do. So we do live longer than they do. But here's the deal. Okay, getting back to it. We have the stress stuff going on. We can't really handle it. We can't run like we used to from the animal. We can't fight. And then release those hormones. We don't do it. We stress. We keep it in. We perseverate. We think. We worry, we go on and on and on, and it makes us crazy and sick, okay? So I really want you guys to hear this. So it's so important, because you have to take responsibility. I know it's really tough, and I know we all are trying to make it. It's economically kind of difficult right now for a lot of folks. All these issues going on, you know, with our health care and our mind and our, you know, worrying about all this stuff is real. I'm not saying deny. Like I said, don't be in denial. Just change your thoughts so you can elevate your stress levels. Do things that make you feel good. Rest, relaxation, meditation, exercise, sleep. All the old school stuff you've been told a gazillion times are true. Try to eat well if you can. That'd be great. Try to take some bites if you can. That'd be great. The thing is managing your stress. Managing your stress without addiction. Trying to take care of your head. Not allowing those crazy people around you or those poor relationships to get you crazy. If you're in one, stay away from that person. Stay away from that person. You know, there are some psychologists who say, oh, if you're married and you have kids, you have to stay. You should have worked it out. You got to stay for those kids. No. Studies show that if there's constant screaming and agitation and anger and verbal abuse, not physical abuse even, verbal abuse going on in the house constantly around children, they're going to be screwed up. They're going to be sitting on my couch for years. The best thing to do is to peacefully agree to part and not have drama and craziness around kids, if that's what's going on, and you can't control yourselves, and you can't go to therapy together and try to work things through. I do digress. My whole point is manage your stress. If relationships are stressing you out, take responsibility for how you're going to work through those relationships or move away from them and get into healthier relationships. You know what I'm saying? Work. Yeah, it's stressful. We have bosses, we have people who are very difficult to work with. Find out how you can work through that and take care of yourself as well. Try to, you know if you have a crappy job and you're sad and it's stressful and all that, just think, hey, you're making money right now. Get through it and plan on another job. Make plans that are going to improve your life for you. Take responsibility. I have an email from a listener who asks me about her life's choices that I'm going to read you a little bit later, and it's all about taking responsibility. Easy to say, I know, but takes a little bit of work. But once you do and you start taking control of your choices in your life and your body by your thoughts, you will live longer. You will be a happier person. You will make wiser choices. All right. Here's another study I want to read you. This is really cool. Because it, you know, it's exactly what I was talking about. Cool in terms of not cool, good, but it's cool because you're going to learn stuff. You're going to learn what researchers have really found about what I was just talking about. It's about abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse too, but psychological abuse. Abuse can take a devastating toll on a person regardless of its form. You know, I have a lot of clients who come in to me and they say, well, I was really not abused. I mean, my parents argued all the time and screamed at each other. And we screamed, my siblings and I screamed at each other and all. But I mean, there was no, like, we never got hit or anything. Okay. Abuse is abuse. Verbal abuse. Screaming, yelling, name calling, humiliating abuse. Now, the conclusion reached by the University of Texas School of Public Health, researchers interviewed about 16,000 adults. Holy, 16,000 adults. They found that those who reported psychological abuse or battering were just as likely to develop physical and mental health problems as those who were physically or sexually abused. Now, that's some heavy shit. Physically or sexually abused. You know, you think, oh my God, that's going to take the worst toll. The mental abuse was just as bad. Who do you think suffers more from psychological abuse, men or women? If you said men, you're right. The study found that men were far more likely to be victims of psychological abuse than women. Why? What are the reasons? Many men are abused when they're growing up by fathers and mothers. Many guys growing up are abused by people in school. They're bullied. Yeah, girls are too. But I guess the amount of abuse verbally is more on the men. Yes, there is a lot of abusive verbal men and other women who are mothers who are abusive to women. But this is what the study found. It's in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine, by the way. So, yeah, psychological abuse, that's craziness. Crazy making drama. If you're exposed on an ongoing basis to that drama and the screaming and the yelling, you're going to get used to it. The chemicals in your brain are changing because you're having to constantly defend yourself like it's normal. And you get addicted to that drama. And it's really sad. It's really scary growing up in a family like that. I understand. And how do you change? You start to take more control of your thoughts. You change the thoughts, you break the neural patterns. You're not addicted anymore because the neural patterns are changing and your patterns become more like happier thoughts. Repetition and rehearsal, repetition and rehearsal. Changing new thought patterns, make new neurons, make new regular branches of thought, as I call it. All right, I wanted to read one more study. This has really nothing to do with stress hormones or being addicted to, you know, chemicals that make us sick because of the ongoing drama. This is about, I just thought I'd throw this in. I was just looking through studies, like I said. I wanted to share with you some of the studies that I was reading. So this one's about sex. Sex problems. Studies on sex problems. Turn up the volume. You're going to love this one. Women apparently have fewer complaints about their sex lives than we thought, than previously believed. You know, you always read these studies about women, and whenever I hear guys and women and see them in therapy relationship issues, it's women are always complaining about their sex life. They're always complaining. A new Kinsey Institute survey asked women whether they were troubled about sex. Are you troubled about sex? Fewer than one quarter said they had a problem. They're not complaining. They're not complaining. USA Today reports that that's significantly lower than a widely quoted University of Chicago finding that showed that 43% of women suffer from sexual dysfunction. Now, what we found in this study is that many women put sex on a back burner because of job stress, because we're working more, especially in this economy. More women are working because of kids, working, taking care of the kids. Okay. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them. It means that they're focused on trying to take care of other things. It's very hard to have the sexy thoughts when you got a screaming kid or you got a boss who's really mean or you got a company you're running as an executive woman and you're taking care of the household and the kids too. Yeah, the guys are wonderful too. They come home and they help and all that. But truly, women take most of the responsibility, according to most studies, in the home because they're detail-oriented and they just do. They organize things with the kids too. It's just the way it is. So, 43% of the women do not suffer from sexual dysfunction. It's job stress. It's kids. It's issues with other people, friends, in-laws, parents, husbands, boyfriends. Yeah, it's still there, honey. The fire's burning. You just got to think about other things. Now, guys, you see, the testosterone is really a cool thing. And guys are very left brain, very spatial, to the point, focus on visual. Yeah. It's easy for them to get stimulated and think about sex a lot. We don't have that brain set up all the time. We don't have that testosterone. You know? So that's the deal. I just wanted to share that with you, too. A little bit of a study. You're listening to LA Talk Radio. This is Dr. Michelle, and you're on the couch with me. And I hope you're having a good time. Stay here because I got more information coming up. I'm going to tell you about some speech patterns that I actually copied between men and women in a couple of my sessions. Why women always complain about men and why men are always complaining about women because of the way they talk and the way they express themselves. We are so different, and it's okay. That's what makes us men and women. We're different. So I'm going to tell you about that. And also, I've got some other listeners' questions I'm going to answer. I got some short and sweet ones, quick and dirty questions that I want to answer. So stay tuned for that. We're going to take a little break. And this is Dr. Michelle on LATalkRadio.com. You're on the couch with me. And by the way, if you'd like to find me, you can do so at my website. That's drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelle with two L's, therapy.com. And you can write me if you have questions about issues or whatever. Doc Michelle at AOL.com. That'd be really cool because that way I can answer your questions on the air. You see what I'm saying? All right, we can take a short break. We'll be right back here.
Smoke-filled covers of the light as two blind lovers steal the night. Can you feel it? Can you feel it inside? Decorated drunken lives can't eclipse those starry eyes. Can you feel it? Can you feel it inside?
Can you feel it? Can you feel it? I can feel it. This is Dr. Michelle, and you're live on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist here at LATalkRadio.com. And today we're talking about stress and how it affects your body and how it affects your life and how you can take responsibility for your life and your body. And also, I'm going to be answering questions from listeners who emailed me at docmichelle@AOL.com about the differences between men and women and why they have such bad relationships and stuff. And I kind of copied down some traits that I have been noticing between guys and women when they come in to see me for relationship therapy. And it's really funny how different we communicate. So I'm going to clue you in on some of that stuff as well. As I mentioned earlier in the show, too, I want to give you this stress test. It's a quickie. It's quick and dirty. And it's from personalitytest.com. And it's really cool because it kind of makes you examine what in your life is causing stress. Like I said, the theme of the show today has been about trying to chill out on the stress in your life because it makes you sick. Stress hormones, thickens the blood, triglycerides, all that icky stuff going on when we get angry, upset, emotional, and live our lives most of the day upset. So, discover what's causing you stress. Here we go. What I'm going to give you are questions to choose three scenarios out of four. Three scenarios. In other words, I'm going to give you some scenarios, like visions of things, like, you know, like a vision of a thing, like a galloping horse or something like that. And I want you to pick three out of four that feel good to you. Three out of four. That you can imagine in your mind. Okay? So three out of four. All right. This is going to tell you about the cause of your recent stress going on in your life. So I want you to choose three scenarios out of these four. Ready? Okay. Number one, what can you visualize out of these four comfortably? What three can you visualize? A group of people taking photographs. A group of people taking photographs. A galloping horse, a house with a garden, and a statue of the goddess Venus. So pick three that you can comfortably visualize. Can you visualize a group of people taking photographs? Pick three, a galloping horse, a house with a garden, or a statue of the goddess Venus. All right, you got three in your mind that you can kind of visualize? Okay, cool. Now, this test is actually about the causes of recent stress, and the vital scenario is the one you left out. So what was least comfortable for you to visualize is all about what's going on in your life. So if you left out the picture of the group of people taking pictures, and you could still visualize a galloping horse, a house with a garden, and the statue of the goddess Venus, if you left out the group of people taking pictures, this means you're really tired and your relationship's kind of boring and you're tired. You're drawn. You're tired too much. If you left out the scenario with the galloping horse, it just wasn't happening and you could visualize the group of people taking photographs or the house with the garden, a statue of the goddess Venus, if you could see those, but you left out the galloping horse, it means that you're tired and stressed over work recently, supposedly. You're tired and stressed out over work. Okay. Of the four, if you left out the visualization of the house with the garden, this means that you're tired with some matters concerning your family or your household or financial stuff going on around you lately. If that was hard for you to visualize that, that's what it says. Or if you did not think about the statue of Venus, if it was really hard for you to visualize that, but you could see the group of people taking photos and the galloping horse in a house with a garden. But if you chose to not focus on the statue of the goddess of Venus, it means that you're stressed over matters of the heart. Not exactly relationship problems, but according to this stress test, it means it has more to do with being tired of trying to settling things with your relationships with your girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or wife or, you know, friendships as well. You're tired of trying to settling things. So it goes down to the whole theory of what we ignore, what we choose to repress is really a biggie going on with this. And this is about causing a stress. So did you get some clarification maybe about what's going on in your life? Oh, you know what? I might be doing that because I left out that scenario and that's kind of what it means. You know? Anyway, thought that'd be kind of fun to do. Those are always really fun. All right, here we go. Let's answer some listeners' questions who wrote me on docmichelle@AOL.com, docmichelle@AOL.com. And I just want to tell you that, yeah, guys and women, you know that. We're different in the way we communicate and feel and all this. And Karen writes me, Dear Dr. Michelle, what are some of the main differences between the way men and women talk and think? I've been with this guy who is so frustrating to be with. It's like trying to talk, I love this part, to a tourist who doesn't know my language. And he says, all I do is talk and talk and talk and talk. Help! Sounds common. I don't mean to minimize your question, Karen, but this is, you know, yeah, we're different. Men and women are different. And I see all the time when people come in to see me for their relationship therapy, how different women and men communicate. It's so incredibly different. Let me tell you about some of the things that I noticed, and then I'll tell you about some of the things you can do maybe to help improve yourself. And hopefully if your guy is listening, or if he's not right now and he wants to download the show, he can do that, of course. You can play this back for him, and maybe he can practice some of these things so you guys can communicate better. So he doesn't perceive you as talking and talking and talking, and you don't perceive him to be, you know, some guy who doesn't understand your language because he's trying to defocus because you're driving him crazy. I'm not blaming you, though. Of course, Karen, I wouldn't do that. All right, here's the thing that I noticed in my sessions with men and women. Guys have different speech patterns than women because they speak in a louder voice. Come on. Women always speak in a softer voice, usually. I mean, unless we're freaking out and kvetching all the time. But I mean, generally speaking, if you are a fly on the wall in meetings, at business, wherever they work, you know, behind a counter or delivery, or when they're talking to people on the phone or whatever they do, guys talk in a louder voice. They use loudness to emphasize points. It's just the way. Women use pitch and inflection to emphasize. Pitch and inflection. Guys use loudness, pitch and inflection. Oh my God! Women. Okay. Guys use about three tones when they're talking. That's it, generally. They sound more monotonous when they talk. Women are much more emotional. We use about five tones when we're talking. We do. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. What's going on? All right. Guys interrupt others more, and they allow fewer interruptions. Constantly, constantly when I'm with people in therapeutic sessions, and I'm with a couple, I find that the guy interrupts the woman so many more times. Now, you might have thought, oh, it's the women because we're always talking. No. And you know, I have no problem with busting women on the problems that we do. I'm not blaming guys, but they just do. It's statistically the way it is. Guys interrupt other people more, and men too. They interrupt anybody. They just allow interrupt others, and they allow fewer interruptions than women do. We as women just interrupt others less, and we allow more interruptions. Maybe that's because we sometimes do not have as loud a voice. Okay. Speech patterns. Men disclose less personal information about themselves. They don't think it's necessary. Okay? Women disclose, of course, more personal information, sometimes too much information about ourselves. We're thinking, we're feeling, we're verbal. That's the way it is. We use that brain on the right side a lot more. Men make more declarative statements. You know what that means? And women make more tentative statements. So, in other words, guys will just say flat out, it's a nice day. Okay? It's a nice day. I'll be going to the store later, so get this. Women make tentative statements, which use tag endings, so they use upward inflections. Women say things like, it's a nice day, isn't it? They want feedback. That's about communication. That's what women do. Guys are like staring, kind of downloading from a long day. And we're going, well, how do you feel about that? And they're just kind of staring still. So, you know, I just see this all the time. And it's just the way men and women communicate. Sometimes we can come together and change our communication. And of course, guys ask fewer questions to stimulate conversation. Women ask more questions. We're just more verbal. We want to know more. We're more emotional, and that's the way it is. So here's the thing, Karen. Let me just tell you this real fast. If you want to change your relationship with your guy and get that communication thing going better, understand that guys communicate to share information more than women. They don't communicate to establish relationships. This means a conversation with a guy might not always be as satisfying as a conversation with a girlfriend. That's just the way it is. Do not be frustrated, Karen, when he's not as interested in talking as you are. All right? Like I said, men talk half as much as women do on a daily basis. They just say, they're declarative. Try to talk less. Karen, most men are bottom line oriented. It'll be better if you get to the point quicker. I'm sorry. We do go on and on and on and on and talk. That's how we're hardwired. But sometimes guys are not going to be paying attention and we feel ignored. So get to the point quicker. Not nagging, not yelling, not anything. Just kind of fast forward, get to the point. And be more direct in your communication. That's kind of the same idea. But if you take a route to the point of your story, I told you that story to tell you this one. And did you know that guys lose interest? Their focus is very strong when they can focus on one thing. Women multitask. Multitask. Tips for guys. All right, Karen, if your guy is listening right now, pump up the volume because I'm going to tell you right now. Realize that your woman, Karen, communicates to establish relationships with you. She's going to be more verbal. All right, check this out. Karen, I don't know your guy's name, but I'm just telling you to tell him. Or I'm talking to him directly right now. Listen, guy, understand that not every question from a woman is a problem begging for a solution. You know what I'm talking about? Just, you know, if she's asked for your help to solve the problem, sure, no problem. Sometimes we women, we just want to blow off steam. We just need to talk and talk and talk and process this stuff. You know, I used to lead these process groups for 4 years, they'd call them. At this outpatient clinic. And, you know, the women go, process, cool. I get to process my feelings every day. And guys go, oh, crap, I got this group to go to again. Ugh, I'm not feeling like talking. All right. It's a fact of life that women use twice as many words as guys do. So, Karen, tell your guy not to be frustrated by it. Just allow. Just know it. Karen, tell your guy to listen. Try to listen. Listen, listen. Don't tune off. Don't tune out. Listen, and suggestive things too for you guys out there and for Karen, your man. Try to move beyond two-word answers. Or three-word answers. I don't know. Maybe so. Not right now. If you're more verbal sometimes, it'll really win over women. Listen to them. Listen. And just kind of just take some of those ideas. This is what I see all the time with couples who come to see me. So hopefully that helped you out, Karen. You know, and maybe I can help you out. All right. I want to talk about this one. Dear Dr. Michelle, I keep attracting the wrong kind of guy. Alrighty. This is from Molly. Can you give me some insight on why I keep picking the bad guys in my life? Well, I don't have enough information why you keep picking the bad guys in your life, Molly. But let me just tell you about what I know a little bit about attracting the bad guys in our lives. I used to have a couple of clients who I can think of, one in particular right now, who would find herself attracted to one particular guy. And he wasn't necessarily the best looking guy in the room or the club or the party or the whatever. And all they had to do was make eye contact, and it was like instant sparks. She would describe it as that. Like there was some magnetic energy, like in a really bad horror movie, driving you towards each other. And every time this happened, my client said she was feeling passion or love at first sight. It's like, oh God, I know this is the right one. She was really attracted to these narcissistic kind of, we call them, Axis 2, Cluster B, in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. They're narcissistic, borderline, antisocial kind of guys. This is the bad guy that you're talking about, I guess. This is what I think you're talking about, Molly. So a lot of times, ladies, if you're feeling you have passion or love at first sight with these kind of guys, you got to look at yourself. Because a lot of these guys can be charming. Uh-huh. They are impulsive. They're irresponsible. They can't accept responsibility. They're kind of shallow. They lack remorse or guilt. They lie to make themselves seem more important than who they are. They're grandiose. They have a superficial charm. But, you know, a lot of women fall for them. Maybe like you, Molly. Maybe this is what's going on within you. So, a lot of women never have trouble meeting attractive, successful, sweet guys. But a lot of women are not attracted to them. They're really attracted to the guys who are dramatic. Because she doesn't want to have a boring or too nice relationship or no passion. This is what I see in a lot of women. And maybe this is what or why you're attracting these bad guys, Molly. So what I pointed out to her, what I suggested to her, was maybe her concept of passion was her attraction or almost like an addiction to the wrong kind of guy. Sometimes we women get attracted to the emotional highs and lows that these cluster Bs, narcissistic sociopath guys, kind of bombard us with, kind of hooks us in. They know how to charm. They know how to appear normal. They know how to appear like everything's, they're great. They're wonderful. They're charming. Everybody likes them. They're, yeah. See, in normal, healthy relationship, there tends to be a more steady emotional ride. You don't feel the intensity of the highs and lows you're used to. So you think something might be missing or some guy might be too boring for you, whatever, Molly. So just think about this when you say you attract the bad guys who hurt you. And maybe they fool around. I don't have all the information that I really would like right now on the bad guy you're talking about. But anyway, as I was talking about earlier, this goes all the way back to the beginning of the show. That our brains actually become physically addicted to emotional intensity. So Molly, if you're subjecting yourself to roller coaster relationships with the bad guys, the hot and cold intensity, we just get addicted to that. It's like a drug. You know? It happens especially to those of us who like grew up with a lot of dysfunction and drama, highs and lows in the home. Yeah, yeah, we get addicted to it. It's normal. I talked about this earlier, about in those abusive homes or abusive sibling relationships or when we're bullied or we have whoever raises us, grandparents, if it is our actual parent, whoever. If they're dramatic and have emotional issues, we grow up with it and we think it's normal. So it's the highs and lows of the drama. So that's why these encounters always lead to unfulfilling relationships. This is where many women constantly feel anxious. They get manipulated. They get strung along. And what happens a lot of times, what I see a lot of times in these relationships, or that they are what I call codependent personality. Because we really need this rush of drama. We need this up and we need this down and we need this pain. And you see what I'm saying? It turns out that because codependents like to live through or for others, we seek out relationships where we can play a victim role. We can play a victim role because we're used to it growing up. And because a lot of narcissistic guys, Molly, I guess like the bad guys who hurt you, who are dramatic, who you're talking about, are so full of themselves, they thrive on controlling and manipulating others. When codependents and a sociopath get together, it's like nitro and glycerin. Boom! So Molly, I suggest that if this is your pattern, to take time not to get involved with anyone until you learn more about yourself, your needs. Learn about how you may have developed a kind of a codependent personality to set yourself up to be with these bad guys who are going to hurt you. You know, there's a lot of studies on how this kind of codependence or allowing yourself to get in these relationships with bad guys are common for children of alcoholics or addicts, rageaholics, as I call them. Because codependency. I need to be abused. Oh, I'm going to buy into this. Oh, he seems so charming. He seems so wonderful. It stems from being abandoned or abused as a child. Alcoholics, addicts, rageaholics, they abandon their kids for their emotional or substance addictions. It's just, you know, well, he was around all the time, but he was drunk. Dad was always passed out on the couch, and he did rage occasionally. He was there. No, they're abandoning because they're checking out. I don't care if they're physically there. They're checking out emotionally. You see what I'm saying? So a lot of times what we do is we feel like this is normal. We feel that we deserve these kind of things. I just want you to get it, Karen, or Molly. I'm sorry. I want you to get it, Molly, that you don't deserve this kind of thing. Just take a look at your upbringing and who you are and why you might be attracting this kind of drama guy. And guys who are pretty normal and stable are pretty neat to be with. Yeah. We have enough drama in our lives anyway, Molly. You don't need it. All righty. I hope I helped you out a little bit. Hope I helped you out a lot. Thank you for emailing me. And listen, that's about it for our show today. I gotta go, man. Time flies when you're having fun here. If you want to get in contact with me, you can do so on my email address, docmichelle@aol.com. DocMichelle with two L's at AOL.com. Of course, you can find me on my website as well. Find out what I'm about. Detoxing from that drama in your life and those creepy bad relationships. Yeah. That's DrMichelleTherapy.com. Dr. Michelle Therapy. DR. Just abbreviate that. Michelle. You don't have to put the period in here. Okay. It's been fun. Have a great, great week. You can download the show and all the rest and find out more about yourself. Have a good one. And as I always do say, take care of yourself first. Bye-bye.
Seeing flashing rays of colored light. Come back here so I can get your name. I wouldn't know what to say to you just the same. Oh, I'll take my time.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Shit.
Hello? Hello?
Hi, this is Elsa Clark.
Yes,
hi,
this
is Sabrina.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Oh, no, there's another call. Let me see if this is going to work, okay? If I hang up,
okay.
Don't worry about it.
Sure.
Hello? Yes. Okay. Hello? Hello?
Elsa?
Yes.
This is Jill Huffnagel. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Just fine.
I think I've just totally lost my whole board, and I am not knowing what to do. So just hold on a second, and we'll try to get organized.
Do you want me to call you back in a few minutes, or?
No. You can stay on the line.
Okay.
I'm just trying to figure out what to do.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. Thanks. You know what? Why don't you call me back in a couple minutes? I just have to get a call. I have to call out and see if I can find out what's going on. Okay?
Sounds great.
I'll be right with you.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Hi, Sam. This is Elsa, and I'm here, and the screen is blank. So I must have. Oh. Okay, I've got one call on hold, and then the other call, she hung up because I didn't know how to connect the two at the same time. But the board is, the screen is blank. The board is just this big, huge thing with all, yeah. Right. So you're calling me here?
Yeah, okay, there we go.
Okay.
Can you hear me on the headphones now?
Yes, yes. I can hear you on the headphones. I can hear you.
Good. Just stay with me for a moment.
I'm here.
Okay.
Hello?
Okay. Yeah, I'm here, Elsa.
Yes?
I'm here. All right,
okay.
I'm going to...
Okay, here comes a call.
What is this?
That's one of my calls. I have two calls coming in.
No, Elsa.
Yes?
Please, let me just this.
I'm not doing anything.
Okay. No, it seemed like something happened.
No, I haven't touched anything, Sam.
Okay. All right, here we are. So your guest is on the line now. Hello, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you fine. Thank you.
And this is...
Wonderful.
This is Abrina.
Abrina, hi. And then Jill was going to call back. I hope she does. We were having a little problem with the board, Jill. I mean, Abrina, I'm sorry. How are you?
Linda, she'll call back and we'll answer it.
Okay.
All right, so just stand by. We'll wait for her to call and then we'll start the show.
Okay, great. Thanks, Sam. I haven't done the two calls, Abrina, so I'm sorry about the
confusion. That's all right. Thank you for trying to work with both of us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I'm really excited about the show. It's going to be fun.
We're so delighted that you asked us. It's such a great opportunity.
Yeah, I think so, for your program, which is outstanding. So I think a lot of people need to hear about it.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. So we're waiting for Jill to call.
How's the weather where you are today?
Oh, it's glorious. It's just beautiful.
Glorious?
Yes, it's around 85.
Fantasize it would be in California.
It is
today.
Just beautiful. It's been a little on the cool side because we haven't gotten into the 90s. At least where I live here in the valley, it's a little bit warmer. But the weather's just been beautiful the past week or so.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah, how about with you?
Oh, it's in the 90s today with lots of humidity.
Yeah, see, no humidity. So it's just, It's great. I was in Texas last week, so that was 103 with humidity, so I can appreciate what you're doing.
Stifling.
Oh, it was, definitely.
Now, will I be able to hear Jill's responses?
Absolutely. Well, it will be as if we're all in the same room, okay? So we'll all hear each
Excellent.
Other.
Excellent. Great technology.
Elsa, do you want to try and call the guest? Do you have her number?
I don't. Do you have her number? Abrina?
I have her cell number.
Why don't you give her a call? Just have her call us again.
I'll do so. Hold on.
Thank you.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Right.
Okay.
We'll see.
So as soon as we get her on the line, we'll have everybody there.
Okay.
Normally, when another call comes in, what you want to do is... let me give you an example. I'm going to call into the station. Oh, there we are.
Okay
what you want to do, Elsa... As you see, there's a button here
yes.
that says menu.
Yes.
Okay, click that.
Uh-huh. Do you want me to click it?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've done that.
And then choose answer and join to conference number 4, that one.
Hello.
Hello. Has she arrived?
Oh, we're all together. Great.
Wonderful.
Okay, Jill, you're here, right?
I am.
And Abrina and Sam. So, Sam, do you want me to just go on as if it were a regular show then?
Yes, but look on the left on on the clock there, and it says 12:03:38. We'll start at 12:05. Okay, so I'll give you time to prepare.
All right, just a sec.
You have about a minute and 15.
Okay, and basically what we're going to do with the show is I'll start and I'll do our intro, and then introduce you. We'll probably talk a little bit about Hollins, and then go into the Leadership Institute, and spend the rest of the program on that. Around quarter after and around half after, we mention our sponsor. But otherwise, the time is all yours.
Terrific.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay,
and wonderful. Will you have questions you'll be posing?
Yes, I will have questions, and I hope you'll have long answers. The time generally goes by very quickly, and I've got some backup things, like you can give us examples of students who've done well or what they've gone on to do after the program. Okay?
Okay.
So we'll start.
Elsa, are you ready? We have 30 seconds.
Okay.
I'm
Ladies, if you don't talk, because anything you say will be heard, will be held against you in a court of law. So basically, just wait till I go, okay? In just a sec.
Of course.